Now, there's been a lot of news about lead exposure coming out of Milwaukee recently. Earlier this year, it was reported that the city's health department failed to provide services to thousands of children with elevated blood lead levels. That news led to the resignation of Health Commissioner Bevin Baker in the city. Now, a new lawsuit is alleging that lead paint manufacturers are trying to avoid tens of millions of dollars in settlements by shifting blame to lead water pipes. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett announced the suit this week.
It's troubling to me that lawyers defending the lead paint industry appear to be using public concern about lead and water to confuse the public and the courts.
We'll take a wider look at the issues of lead contamination now. Sherry Johnson is the director of the Population Health Institute at UW-Madison. Sherry, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
And Kevin Engstrom is director of environmental health at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. Kevin, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rob.
Sherry, let's look at long-term trends when it comes to children with elevated blood lead levels. What are we seeing nationwide and here in Wisconsin over time?
Right. So over time, we have seen a decline in the number of children with elevated blood lead levels, and that's largely due to significant policy interventions as well as clinical interventions. So that's the good news. And yet we know that there are still many, many children who have elevated blood lead levels, and that those blood lead levels are related to difficulties that they will experience in behavior and development and academic performance. So it's critical that we focus on primary prevention, which really means getting lead out of the environment and preventing children, every child, from being exposed to lead.
And Kevin, how bad is the problem now in Milwaukee specifically?
Well, 16th Street operates primarily on the south side of Milwaukee, and what we're seeing is prevalence rates that mirror very much what Sherry mentioned, the decline over the last 20 years, and we're seeing a kind of a plateauing. So the prevalence rate is really has stayed at the same level within our program over the last 5 years or so. So I do think that we're in a position where, as a city and within our program, we really want to look at some creative solutions to keep driving that prevalence rate down to 0%.
Yeah, Kevin, as I understand it, things are improving in Milwaukee as they are elsewhere, but Milwaukee sees higher rates of elevated lead levels than other parts of the state and the country, right?
Definitely. There are a couple other counties within the state that are hotspots as well, but Milwaukee is definitely, if you look at the prevalence rate and then the actual, definitely the numbers of children that are poisoned, definitely dwarfs any other geography in the state.
And Sherry, you mentioned the consequences of lead contamination, lead poisoning. Can you talk about some of the health concerns that exposure to lead raises?
Right. So I'm a clinical child psychologist and have worked in pediatric primary care for a long time. And what we see is children who present with difficulties learning in school, different difficulties with maintaining behavioral control, difficulties with making academic progress. So, for instance, there are published studies that show that lead exposure is related to performance on educational proficiency tests, and that data comes straight out of Milwaukee through the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concepts exam. So there are real significant consequences to both short-term and lifelong health impacts, because we know also that when children don't make the educational achievements that they could have made if they hadn't been poisoned, that has impacts for employability as adults and income as adults and the ability to really reach their highest potential.
And Kevin, do you see these concerns in the neighborhoods you work in when it comes to these educational achievement issues related to lead?
Absolutely. I'm a former educator before I joined 16th Street. And so I have students that, even though I did not know at the time whether they had been lead poisoned or not, students that I can remember having in the classroom that I'm fairly certain that was at least part of their struggles that they're having in the classroom. And I think that is one of the potential future solutions that we could look at and really close the information gap between the health community, health providers, and the education systems, and really give some early interventions to students that have had lead poisoning as younger children. As they start into school, we could put some early interventions in place before they're struggling and are on a more negative path.
We're talking to Kevin Angstrom from 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee and Sherry Johnson from the UW-Madison's Population Health Institute, looking at the causes and consequences of lead exposure. Sherry, you mentioned earlier that a key here is prevention. As I understand the science, once the lead is there, once a child has taken that lead in, it doesn't really go away. There's not a cure to take to get the lead back out. Is that right?
That's correct. There's no cure. And what we also know is that lead accumulates in the body over time. So pregnant women also can release lead that was accumulated in the body to the child that they are carrying. So this is a really significant problem, but it's also preventable. So this notion of primary prevention, getting lead out of the environment in the first place, is really the key to preventing the health problems that we see over the life course.
So how, Sherry, do we do that? What are the prevention techniques to make sure that kids aren't exposed to that lead?
Right. So there are multiple attempts, and Kevin and I work together with a number of other organizations, including Walnut Way and the Milwaukee County Extension and the Milwaukee Health Department Laboratory, with neighbors in two parts of Milwaukee who are interested in backyard gardening, and understanding that soils in many urban backyards have been contaminated with lead from flaking and scraped lead-based paint on the exterior of homes. So there's exposure pathways through soil, there's exposure pathways through lead-based paint, there's exposure pathways through water, there are exposure pathways through pottery from other countries. So there are multiple ways that children get exposed, and I think our challenge as a community is to say, let's work across all of these exposure pathways to really prevent exposure from happening.
And then, Kevin, take us into the neighborhoods you're working in. What kind of prevention efforts are going on?
16th Street operates a lead outreach program that is able to respond to lead tests that are done within 16th Street Community Health Centers. So in 2017, we conducted over 8,000 lead tests that resulted in over 500 home visits. So what we're doing is able to go into the home, look and see what the danger is, and address that on spot with what are called interim controls. So that is generally looking at lead paint hazards in the home and putting in just very simple, basic barriers. So duct tape, cardboard. We utilize a HEPA vacuum to be able to suck up lead paint chips, and just the bare minimum to make sure that family is protected, at least in the short term. We then, within the home visit, also will distribute water filters that are purchased, and we work in conjunction with the health department in order to distribute those to families that have lead service laterals. Then, as Sherry mentioned, we're part of the Growing Healthy Soils Project, so we have dozens of homes that we've been able to do soil interventions to, so adding compost and adding other elements that are able to reduce the bioavailability of the lead in the soil. And so we feel good about the fact that we have this multi-pronged approach, and yet we're still seeing those prevalence rates come up in the tests. So we're responding well, we feel like, to the elevated levels that we're seeing. What we would like to see, as Sherry pointed out, is more primary prevention, where we're just seeing less children. So I think in orientation towards that approach, where being proactive rather than reactive is where I would love to see the city get to, and love to see our program get to as well.
We're talking about lead poisoning and public health in Wisconsin. Sherry Johnson is with us, director of the Population Health Institute at UW-Madison, and Kevin Angstrom with us, director of environmental health at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. You can join in at 800-642-1000. 1234. Have you encountered these concerns in your community, maybe in your home, when it comes to lead exposure from, say, paint or drinking water? Do you have questions about how this works, how to prevent it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation about lead poisoning and public health in Wisconsin with Sherry Johnson, public health expert from the Population Health Institute. Also with us, Kevin Engstrom, with Director of Environmental Health at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been an issue for you? Has your child tested positive for elevated blood lead levels? Are you in a community that's seen a lot of lead exposure? Do you want to see a bigger effort to get rid of lead, maybe in your own neighborhood? Or do you have questions for our guests? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Before we go to our callers, Sherry, this debate, this lawsuit in Milwaukee, people are arguing over is water main exposure or paint the bigger problem? I know they're both concerns. Has one cause been a bigger problem historically than the other?
So I think we should avoid either-or arguments and really focus on the prize, which is getting lead out of the environment and making sure that we're focusing on children that are the most at risk and who have yet to have the attention that they deserve to get a healthy start to life. So the Pew Charitable Trust has published really good information on the multiple exposure risks and the way in which investing in removing lead from the environment through multiple pathways is going to have long-term returns on investment. And I really hope that we can start to really think more long-term about what a society would look like if we invested in prevention now and how that would really benefit all of us.
Kevin, you get a sense of urgency, say, from city, state officials, the society in general. Are we taking this issue seriously enough?
I think that there's a lot of interest in it, and there's a lot of anger within the community, definitely. But will that anger be able to be leveraged into resources and really having effective programs to address the multiple pathways that Sherry was referencing? I think we'll have to wait and see, but I think the focus on childhood lead poisoning really, I think that accelerated after Flint, I think is promising, and the amount of organizing and interest in this is, I think, a really positive step. I think we're at a really important point now to take that interest and take that energy and really coalesce and get behind some initiatives that we can really put some resources behind and really shift and get that prevalence rate down to zero.
Let's bring on a caller now. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Yeah, my question is this. Outside of the Milwaukee metropolitan area, how big is the lead problem? Is this a problem, say, in Madison, Janesville, Superior, Wausau? I'll take comments off the air. Thanks.
Yes, Sherry, do we see problems with lead elsewhere in Wisconsin outside of the Milwaukee area?
Yes, so the State Department of Health Services Division of Public Health is responsible for statewide surveillance of lead exposure. And so you can look at their maps to see that there are, as Kevin reported about Milwaukee, hot spots around the state that are related to things like older housing stock as well as contamination from industry. And so it's certainly not a Milwaukee problem alone. It does affect lower income children at higher rates than other groups of children. And that's related in large part to the opportunities to keep the housing stock in good repair. And so there are ways in which we need to pay special attention to children that are living in lower-income communities or in lower-income families around the state.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Jonathan in Sharon. Jonathan, hi.
How's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jonathan?
Yeah, what I wanted to bring up is, you know, we use charcoal for water filters. I personally use a form of charcoal called biochar for my garden. And I was wondering if there's been any research done into, because Sherry had mentioned that once the lead gets into the child's system, that it's really hard to get out. Has there been any research done into ingesting charcoal as a means to remove it from the body?
I see, not a filter. Sherry, have you heard of anything like that? As far as I know, right now we don't have a way to get the lead back out once it's in us.
Right. Well, there's a medical procedure that children undergo when the lead levels are very high. I believe it's 80 or above, and that's called chelation, and that's done by a medical doctor in a hospital setting. I am not aware of any approaches that one might do at home or in the community that involve ingesting charcoal, but Kevin may know.
And briefly, though, Kevin, as we wrap up, I want to ask, do you feel a sense of optimism that we're going to make headway in the next few years?
I do. As I mentioned earlier, I think the amount of interest and the amount of energy that is being given this issue, I do feel like we're in a, even though the prevalence rates are the same, I feel like we're in a better place as far as taking a next step towards putting some solutions in place. So I am optimistic, but that optimism really needs to come with hard work as well.
Thanks to both of our guests today. We've been talking to Sherry Johnson, director of the Population Health Institute at UW-Madison, and Kevin Engstrom, director of environmental health at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee, talking about concerns about lead contamination in Milwaukee and elsewhere. The newly closed We Energies coal-fired power plant in Kenosha County is one of more than 200 coal plants to have shut down in recent years or be slated for closing, but the company still operates Wisconsin's largest coal-fired burner in nearby Oak Creek. Neighbors upset about coal dust from the facility want that plant turned off too or switched to cleaner fuel. They fear the dust problem will get worse. Instead, Chuck Kornbach reports that We Energies is promising other changes.
The Oak Creek Generating Facility is actually two power plants, including one added in a major expansion about a decade ago. They roar 24/7 along the Lake Michigan shoreline. To keep this massive place running, it takes about 12,000 tons of coal a day. For years, neighbors to the south of the plant have complained about dust blowing from coal piles and trainloads of coal. Lately, some folks in a neighborhood to the north have said they're affected too.
It's in and on my air conditioner. That's from almost 2 weeks ago.
Michelle Jeske offers a brief tour of her backyard, pointing at objects thinly coated with black dust.
That's a cooler that was left outside. So some residue, obviously, on the whites, you can see it. Doesn't really just wash off.
Jeske says with four kids going in and out, she also has trouble keeping the dust out of her house. Across the street, the Millard family shows other items like pans of water set out in the front yard. They're covered in black dust, and Greg Millard says tests have shown it's coal.
In our yard and Michelle's yard, too. It's all over, 200 homes.
Greg's wife, Sheila Millard, says the coal dust is ruining a good community.
The neighborhood has been fine. I don't think our We Energy neighbor has been a good neighbor at this point.
The Millards have lived about a mile from the plant for 11 years. They say the dust problem only got very bad last summer when the power company moved a coal pile closer to their home. The Millards say since then, on many windy days, the neighborhood gets a cloud of dust. The Clean Power Coalition of Southeast Wisconsin, which includes the Sierra Club, faith groups, and others, has highlighted the concerns at two community meetings in Oak Creek. At the first event, local doctor Michael Gans said there's a good chance that extended exposure to coal dust has contributed to the dozens of cases of asthma and other breathing problems that he's treated.
The coal dust that I believe is likely playing a strong relationship between these folks getting sick very often and actually having coal in their homes.
At a second meeting last week, executives of three companies that own the Oak Creek Power Plant, We Energies, Madison Gas and Electric, and Wisconsin Public Power Incorporated, also attended. They heard pleas to buy out more neighboring landowners or make more use of renewable energy like solar and wind and convert the coal-fired power plant at Oak Creek to cleaner-burning natural gas. Tom Metcalf of We Energies began his response by apologizing.
First of all, I am very sorry for the incidents that have caused us to be here this evening. We can and we must do a better job.
Metcalf and other executives announced that Oak Creek employees will curtail or stop work on outdoor coal piles during windy days. The new coal pile will be lowered and covered with a temporary sealant. Possibly the company will build a new wind barrier. More plant neighbors will be offered tours and encouraged to ask questions. The promises did not impress neighbor Rudy Wendt.
You want to be good neighbors, you say? I don't think so. You just want to pull in that mighty dollar.
Some of the neighbors also say now that We Energies has closed its Pleasant Prairie facility, the company will make more use of the Oak Creek plant, especially when the planned Foxconn factory begins operating 10 miles away. The power company says not so. Chuck Quirnbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, Congress passed changes to the tax code. We want to know if you're seeing the difference in your paycheck or your business. According to road safety research, we're texting while driving more than we used to. We'll find out why laws targeting distracted driving just don't seem to be helping. That plus humorist David Sedaris joins us coming up Monday on Central Time.